Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 71 of the Run to the Hills podcast, sponsored by Chia Charge. If you want to fuel your adventure with real food made with real ingredients, then head over to www.chiacharge.co.uk. Deep breath.
Your public speaking is coming along a treat.
I needed to breathe in before I started that sentence, so that was the...
Our kids often have to do like recite poems and stuff.
Yeah.
The French love that. And I'm always like, take a deep breath so that you can say the whole bit. And they're like, oh, mom.
I find it when I do my little YouTube videos that I've got to be really mindful because I run out of air before I'm due to finish the sentence. How are you doing, Edwina?
Have we had a happy new year? What has happened? What day are we?
It is a blur, isn't it? When I'm out running, I say happy new year to people and it feels a bit strange but it's only the third or the fourth.
When do you stop saying happy new year as well to people?
Yeah.
It's a weird one, isn't it? I love Christmas. Not so bothered about New Year. But I love all the time around Christmas, but I'm so happy when it's over. I mean, literally, Sunday, kids went, we didn't have your bank holiday shenanigans that you've had in the UK. So kids went back to school on Monday. So Sunday, Bryn and I were like, right, Christmas, done. Decorations.
They're down, are they?
Down, back, in the bag. Everything's back in the bag. Trees done. Trees out in the river. And and then we do the leave the Christmas bag down from the loft because for the next week or so, you find that odd Christmas decoration. So I've started doing that. But yes, nice to be back. It's nice to be back to a little bit of normality, isn't it?
I'm hoping. Oh, well, I really enjoy Christmas. But I'm hoping to get a bit more of a routine in my daily life. I'm all over the place, Eddie, and I seem to think, why can't I do all this stuff? I've got all these extra hours, but I'm being no more productive.
It's not a time for productivity, though, is it? It's a time for relaxing. Yeah, my kids have gone back. They've gone back to school for their holiday now because we total time that they spent on the ski slopes and between them, it was over 100 hours of skiing.
Whoa,
in the
two. Yes.
They were pretty tired.
Yeah.
We were like, when we were kids on Christmas holiday, we didn't do anything. You know, you had Christmas Day, you went and saw like some relatives between Christmas and New Year. Our kids haven't stopped and they don't, you know, they're actually really bad at being at home with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Because they're always doing an activity or they're at home recovering from activity. So when they like have a chunk of time, which they don't often get, they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, this is when you just stop and relax. They can't do that. Anyway, so nice of them back. And I've started to train and I lay on the floor on the gym yesterday and I felt a bit overawed by how big my belly was and what a long journey I've got to do to get back into fitness and then fitter than I want to be than I was before. So it's like, it's not just getting fit again because you never like, I can carry on running. You know, I still maintain fitness, don't you, as an active person. But to get back into shape is like, oh my God, I've got like 6 weeks of pain. And then I've got such a long journey to get into this sort of shape. And I did lie on the gym floor and thought, should I just not bother? Stay here. And
most people just go to the gym. They don't physically do anything. They move the machines.
When I go to the gym. I try and go with a mate who we sort of like mix our strength programs to try and do like the same sort of things. It's so much more fun. And we go in and we go, you know, we don't stop and we do exercise after exercise and we do stability work and core work and glute work. And then we do our strength work. We don't stop. I mean, look, like I've got proper callus.
Oh, yes.
Proper callus. And then some I'm sorry, but guys come in and like this do like... four pull-ups and then like scroll on their phone for like 20 minutes or just stare at us and then like do another exercise and then they go like
been to the gym, tick.
I've started my base building. I am going to be really strict about it because often I I get bored and then I work too hard. Yeah. And base building is all about lots of volume with a low heart rate, which is, I like the volume, but I also like the heart rate. But in order to do day after day of volume, you need to have a low heart rate because otherwise you're just going to be knackered or injured. So I'm trying to be, the 2 days I've been training, I've done really well. I've been really straight and being like, right, don't let that heart rate go over 140. Yeah. Keep in that zone, start building the volume. And I feel really refreshed. I was a little bit nervous that I had pretty much the whole of December with very little training compared to what I've ever done. I think that's probably the longest and the least amount of training I've ever done in my, since I was like 18. But apart from pregnancy, but now I start back training. I just sat on the bike this morning. I was going to ski, but it was pouring with rain and I didn't feel like I'd been off it. I was able to sit on it for 90 minutes, push about between 2 to 2.5 watts per kilogram. You'll learn all about this. Felt pretty good. I was like, actually, I think the rest, the recuperation of the rest has set me up well.
Have you not hardened yourself up though? My bum is aching from only about three times on the bike. It's not very comfortable, but it's a little razor blade, that saddle.
One, you need to invest in a good saddle. I can point you in the right direction. You need a really good pair of cycling shorts.
Oh yeah, see, I'm just on my short shorts.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's so hot. I didn't strip off. I was like, literally.
Jules, you can't just blast them on the seat. Their work might be done, but you don't want to be walking around like John Wayne. The other thing I do is where you've got your tri bars set up is I put a towel over the top of that fit.
I got my towel.
I put a big towel over the top, which then you can sit back quite a lot to take the pressure off the seat bones.
Yes.
So I change my position on the seat quite a lot. I don't get it anymore, but I used to get really sore bum when I started back if I'd had a break from cycling. But I think it takes 2 weeks. And when you go on the bike, and then you're really sore, it'll take 5 minutes. Just suck it up. Get on with it. Anyway, tell me about your Swift. I saw it on Strava. I saw Chris Froome was looking at those watts going.
He's a follower now. He's a big fan. It was good. You know, the week had just gone wrong as far as getting out to do that second workout. So I strolled through the Zwift and I thought, well, there's something. It was like 5 times 5 minutes, 5 on 5 off or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I think the power, it was appropriate to where it thought I was. I'm sure that it's gone up now since I did this test or the other day. It was just 5 on 5 off. And it's funny because it wasn't a hard workout as far as my heart rate was concerned, but I could definitely feel it. And it was a different, I want to mention the 200s and 400s of the week. Just a different sensation in my legs. When I cycle in the past, it's just been a commute bike ride. It's with no purpose. So I definitely see this as a place. And like you mentioned, with the weather not great outside, you don't want to dodge all of those runs because when the event comes around, it might not be great. But every now and again, I think it's good. And just the way that my week panned out, I thought, yeah, I'll do this on the this workout on the turbo. And then I did this, is it FTP, whatever that is?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. I was going to say, you did it.
Yeah, the short one. There's a big one. And I did the short one because it said, if you're under 60 kilos or new to cycling, then do the short version. I think I got up to about 210 watts, but then the average was, I think, 156. So yeah, it's very technical, but my goodness, I was sweating. My shoes were full. I could feel my socks were wet. I had to grab the Chia Charge bars. Although, like I said, the effort wasn't there. I just felt like I can run and run and run, and it seems to be fine nutritionally. Very rarely eat when I'm running, to be honest, apart from in an event. Different to running when I want to just get those calories down as quick and easy as possible without any real eating. The bike's a lot easier to.
Oh my God, I love it. This morning I have like a table over my handlebars that you can move, and Bryn uses it as his stand-up desk.
Yeah.
And it must be disgusting. He goes, is he in there now? I'm like, oh my God. And I start and I have my cup of tea as I'm setting up Swift, and then I have my snack bars, Chia Charge bars, and then I have my Precision Hydration in one bottle. So you got to make sure I have two water bottles with electrolyte in, because you're sweating a lot. lot. So you've got
to sweat so much. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have a bottle of electrolyte and then have a bottle with a bit of Tailwind in as well. And then I have a bar because you do get more hungry.
Yeah.
I find on the bike. Maybe it's also because your mind wanders and you're like, what shall I do? I think I'll have a snack. But I kind of like the fact as well that when you're the mental change of it as well, you can like zone out, you can cycle, you can.
Yeah.
You can like, whereas when you're running, it's quite, you know, you're mentally, you're always looking, you know, is there a hole? Is there a car? Is there somebody?
Yeah.
What's my dog doing? You know, but on the bike, you can just, I often like use the warm up to like WhatsApp, reply to emails. And then I'm like, right, set in, get in on Zwift.
I just had my YouTube on and I was watching, we did a park run at the weekend and I popped that as my latest YouTube video. And I just checked it basically because sometimes there's some language that slips through the net.
Is it your language?
No, it's never. not usually.
As for the sweating, I just wear like a sports bra and I've got some old cycling shorts. Invest in some cycling shorts. I don't put a fan on because I quite enjoy the sweating because it's winter and I don't sweat when I go outside. But I also found that when it came to summer, I was really well heat adapted. And I'm sure it's from doing treadmill and bike in my hot room and the sweating. and I'd never found that the switch then to like racing in the heat and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's hashtag not scientifically proven. But also I kind of like the suffering of it. I kind of like the like sweating and the only thing as well with the Zwift and the hotness is that it can increase your heart rate so you can feel that you're working much harder.
Ah, that's a good point.
Because
yeah.
you're hotter than you are. So a fan will bring that heart rate down. But
well, I'm not buying a fan. It cost me, it seems like every time I had to buy a new heart rate monitor because my old one was on Bluetooth. I didn't have to buy these things, Craigie. I'm not understanding.
Yeah, but I think Zwift without heart rate monitors is not. You've got to have a heart rate monitor for Zwift.
Well, the first time I was on it, I had my Garmin going the same time as Zwift. So it was synced quite a few times. So I'm trying to do it all through Zwift.
All this like technology, I'm like, get it set up so that you can get on and use it. Then you'll use it. Otherwise, if it's complicated and it doesn't work and it just causes rage and then you might as well have gone for a run by the time that you've done that.
I do fancy dipping into one of those events. That might be the next thing I do is whatever they are, but I'll be appropriate to the level I'm at. I think I'm either an A or a D, whichever one it is, because I'm a new starter.
This morning I was like, shall I do a race? Cause that all, and I was like, no, because there's no way that is base building. The races are absolutely, when I do them, if Bryn comes in, I literally cannot take my eyes off the screen. They are like full on. You cannot breathe because if you do, you get dropped. You have to be in the group because if you get a draft, you'll learn it all. They are brilliant, but they are absolutely. Sometimes they take me like 3 or 4 days to recover. Ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
So I don't want to go into a race where there's literally pointless me being there. So I'd find my level. And then after that race with my level.
Go in lower. If you're too good, they'll just disqualify you at the end.
Okay.
So they all say like how many watts per kilogram. So when you're next on it, have a little look. But I would go like 1.5 to 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then nearly always, and choose a race where there's loads of people. Because if there's only like 10 people, then everyone will split up and you want to be racing people. So choose a time of day when like 6 o'clock in the evening, when lots of people.
And would it just see after the race, depending on how I did,
it will tell you, you need to do your FTP again because you're
okay. It wouldn't just do it. It would tell me I need to do another test.
No, I think,
okay.
Anyway, so sorry, everybody, but hopefully that's inspired people. If you're thinking of new year, new you, new goals, I hate all that. I hate it. But hopefully it's inspiring you to do a little bit of cross training, adding it into your life, changing it up. Don't add more. Don't add more volume. Don't go new year. I'm just going to do more. Think of different ways.
I'm a little bit worried. I might just end up doing more and more and more stuff. So far, we're not there yet, but I'm really enjoying it. It's good.
This week, we chat to Nicola Dawson. She is the founder of Epic Trails, a Facebook group and a running group which encourages and enables people to get into trails, find local trails around them, to meet as a group and to increase their confidence about perhaps running somewhere they haven't run before, perhaps running further than they've run before. She is a lady who inspires everybody around her, not just trail running. She does all sorts of incredible things. She's a busy mum, working mum as well, and also an established ultra runner now. She's gone from not running to now doing lots and lots of ultra races, especially if you're Scottish based, you'll know all of them. What a lady, and what a lovely lady. So here is our chat with Nicola Dawson. Hello, everybody. We are delighted to welcome Nicola Dawson to the podcast today. Just a pre-caveat warning for this interview. All of us have got dogs in the room at the moment. It's Christmas time. They're a little bit excited. There's trees up. They don't know what to do with themselves. And we're not going to edit it out because we love dogs on this podcast. Yeah. So we're just adding canine interviewees to this podcast. Hi, Nicola. How are you? Where are you? And have you been for a run today?
Hi, Eddie. Hi, Gary. I am up in Mulgay, which is, if those know, just north of Glasgow, start of the West Highland Way. No running yet this morning, but I have had the dog walk home from school, which is more of the pull than the walk.
We were just talking about that, weren't we, Gary? Because my road outside is like ice down to our trail. And normally I would just put the dogs on the lead and run down with them. But because it's ice this morning, they were like, and I'm really bad because I've never trained them on the lead because they're on the lead for like 20 seconds a day to get on this trail. But then I was being pulled down this ice going, wah!
I'm always in a bit of a wrestle because to walk Rick's is a real pain, to be honest with you. All he wants to do is run. But then when I want to go for a run with Rex, I want him to pull and, you know, not be kind of tripping over. So it's always like it's kind of a confusing situation.
My dogs can hear your dogs now, Nicola.
But how old's your dog, Nicola?
8 months. We've only just got her. We got her 2 weeks ago as a puppy, a rescue puppy. So it's still very, very new.
Oh, she's a rescue puppy at 8 months. Is she a Vizsla?
Yes, Vizsla cross with something.
And you're hoping to go running with her? Is that the idea?
That is the plan. Started doing, not, she's too young to do proper runs. So occasionally I put the harness on just to let her stretch her legs. But it is she's one of those sprinters. Let's go as fast as we can, as quick as we can, and then gone.
And would it be Canny Cross eventually? Is that the thought?
I'd like to, or else just even just getting her out, getting some company in the hills. So I'm not just talking to myself and the sheep, really.
Yeah, that's why I love running with my dog so much, is that I can go out anywhere. I never feel like I'm on my own because I've got my little friends.
Rex spooks me from time to time. No, it's nice, the company, but then sometimes you can pick up on things that I'm oblivious to, and it's like, oh my goodness, what is that? What's
They're
that
good
the
though,
trees?
Aren't they? Because they know if someone's around the corner. Well, Lindy goes around the corner to greet ready for the full greeting of anybody. But in the dark, it's in the dark if they suddenly stop and stare, and you're like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, it is quite spooky. Right, well, we always deviate, Eddie. It's great, this. I'd love to know a bit about your journey and I suppose, you know, your journey as an athlete, as a runner, and how you got into ultra running.
Yeah. Well, running and sport is something I've always done, just all my life. You know, I remember as a youngster, there were the cross countries and the horrible weather, especially in the west coast of Scotland, when you're sand dunes and rain, and it was delightful. Great. I don't actually know why I keep running. Then I got into, did the first like half marathon at 17, first lived London at 21. Then just injuries got in the way. And I was told, well, you're probably never going to do a proper distance, but just crack on shorter ones, you know, up to maybe 15K, you'll be fine. So that's what I did. I was quite happy running the trails around my way. And then it was a few years ago, because obviously, as I said, living my guy, West Highland Way, I keep seeing all these runners. And if that race called the Highland Fling, and then there's like the West Highland Way race and others like that. And I'm like, right, seriously, I've got to do something about this. So quite literally, I went from nothing. I entered the Highland Fling with an entry time from 2003 as a marathon qualifier.
Did nobody check it? I think they're supposed to have like a time scale.
It didn't seem to have a time scale, so I thought I'd put it in and it's in
tomorrow. Love it.
Maybe there is now. Sorry, John, if there is. And then someone told me, I was like, can we do this? And he's like, well, you've got the endurance, you've got the stamina, you've got it in you, just how you hold up, if you can do it. So that must have been back in, that would have been 2018 or 19, I did it. I can't work out with lockdown and COVID. I don't know what year's was.
No, I was just saying that.
It's gone.
Years ago.
Did it. Did a marathon just before it as my training run and then did the fling. I swore at the end of that I was never running ever again. It was the worst thing ever. I couldn't walk. I think I was sick twice on the way back down Loch Lomond Shore, but I think that was more husband's driving. Come on, it's a bit bendy, those roads.
Awful, isn't it? It's awful. And you're so like, I never ran that far. My God, this drive is taking 16 hours.
Yeah.
I'm never doing it again. Never, ever, never running. And then I was like, oh, this is an entry. I think I might just, oops, what happened there? How did that entry happen? That button finger slip. And I seemed to enter it for the following year.
Awesome.
So unfortunately, though, the following year didn't quite happen because I had a really bad accident 2 weeks before it. So I got... 2 weeks before, it's all been going brilliantly. Training is on top. I was like, this year I'm going to smash it. I will do, not win it or anything, just actually be alive at the end of it. And I had a bike car accident. I broke both wrists.
Oh my God.
So that was 2 weeks before, you know, that way sitting going, and A&E after that, sitting going, right. If it's only one, I'm sure I could run it, splint it, I'll be fine. But as the week got on, the injury got worked. We worked out how bad it was. And then the Thursday in hospital, getting both wrists operated on.
Oh my goodness.
And the Friday, the race medic phoned me and said...
Were you still hopeful then? As you're having the anaesthetic, were you like, still could be done. I can get my Salomon flasks with just my fingers.
Yeah, liquid gel.
Yeah, I was like, legs still work. They're not too bad. Just bumps and bruises. They're not bad. And he phoned me. He's like, you're not running. I was like, okay. Can I help? So they stopped me at the start line.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Two wrists that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I kind of pointed people in the right direction.
Oh, you're so sweet to do that.
But then it was the worst day ever. The weather looked absolutely horrendous. I was like, thank goodness I wasn't running that.
Yeah. Sometimes, if you're there helping out in some capacity and the weather's not great, you do think, I'm glad I've missed this one. How long did it take to recover from the wrist? How long did that last for?
They've never recovered properly. Oh, wow, three operations now. So, and they're never, one of them's never going to be the same, but I've just had to adapt. And that's what I do. I used to coach tennis part-time just as a hobby. I've always loved tennis and I've never held a racket since. So I re-qualified and transferred and did my level 2 triathlon coaching qualification. So I can still coach people, especially younger ones, because that's what I love. I did that.
And is that all right? Swimming? Have you tried swimming since you...
It's hard and sore. But it's just starting to... I'm not a swimmer. I hate swimming.
Okay,
I have to say, I really hate... No. Swimming's not
good. So common, isn't it? A lot of runners who maybe dabble in triathlon, it's always a swimming they seem to like the least out of the three disciplines.
Well, when you've got a child...
My child's
a fish. My child, she's a fish. She does 100 in like 1 minute 3.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's really fast, Gary. Yeah. Especially for us triathletes. So we're like, if I did a 120, I'd be like smashing it. And I'd only be able to do one. She probably does that again and again and again.
Just 12.
So are you still, running now? So you're back running, wrists are all right.
They're fine for running. I'm just like uber cautious and anything. Just I can't take the risk of falling on them.
Back
to running, back to doing all the ultras. It's great. I just love them. Try to pick up different ones. Unfortunately, COVID got in the way for a few that I had planned, like the West Helen Way race, which I was like so looking forward to. But now just trying to kind of see what other ones I can do and pushing it a bit further all the time now.
And do you still have those thoughts when you do it of, because I heard, I think it was Jason Koop said, if you don't say during an ultra 4 to 5 times, that's it, I'm quitting, I'm never doing it again, then you're not running, you're not running it hard enough. Do you still have those thoughts when you run ultras now, or with the experience of like, actually, this pain is temporary?
Yeah, I know it's temporary. Well, my way of doing it is I never race in my head that I'm running an ultra. So I actually write on my number, I write it upside down, what each checkpoint is and what the distance is.
Yeah.
So then I just look at my number and I see
it's not raining.
Yeah. that's it. I go, right, I'm checkpoint one, say like 12K, right, I'm running 12K. And then after that, I'll go, what's the next one? Checkpoint two is 15K, right, I'm running 15K. Yeah. And that's exactly the way in my head I can do it. If I thought I'm running like 60, 70, 80, I'd be like, not happening.
That's a great way. That's exactly what I do. I just go checkpoint to checkpoint if I think of the enormity of what's ahead. So Nicola, what does a typical day look for you now at the moment? Our listeners love to know how we juggle everything with training, with work, with kids, dogs.
Yeah, then you add a day extra. That's the harder part. Usually just now I work full time as well, so it is a bit of getting up, usually doing the kids run, or if the fish is at swimming, then it's taking her to swimming. Those mornings I'll try, when she's in the pool for an hour, I can get a run for an hour. Don't like it at that time in the morning. Well, I do once I'm out. It's just that getting out and the trainers on and sitting in the car and procrastinating that it's dark and cold and wet, but it's good.
Yeah.
And now I've switched a bit to actually just taking the dog out now, do the school drop off. And then I'll always plan in. I have in my calendar for work lunch. It's my lunch break, it's my lunch hour. I will get out. If I'm in the gym, on the bike, running, that's just my escape to clear my head. Usually back to work, pick up kids, back home, juggle 20 million children's activities. And again, it's trying to fit them in around that. I've got certain nights I've got my activities and we share a lot with other mums who can do drop off, who can do pick up. And then like Monday night, I'll go running. Tuesday night is my swimming lessons, as I call them. I learn to not drown a bit more. And then Wednesday night, club night. Thursday night is I take out my group runs. So that's my guided ones that I take out. So that's always fun. And then the weekend is always, Saturday morning is my long run. So I'll get out with friends and just head up in the hills.
You have to be quite present with each task.
Oh, I try to. As much as I can, I'll have to try focus, because, you know, you've only got so much time and it's trying to fit it in. Like when the littlest one has her swim lessons, I'm like, right, I've got half an hour. What can I do? And it's in the pool. Just do it. Quite often, the amount of things I've taken sitting on my turbo bike, you know, if it calls, things I can sit that I can just turn the legs, but at the same time, be on a call or watch something that I need to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Get work done. Yeah. If I can multitask, it's done.
When we're trying to fit those things in, like, it's okay. Like, okay, so you've got half an hour. Even though some people would be like, oh, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it with it. But if you do it all the time, the consistency all builds up, doesn't it? Because sometimes I'm like, I only got 25 minutes. Shall I bother? Shall I just go and have a coffee and chat to my mates? But then it's like, it all adds up, doesn't it? It all adds up. And I do think it makes us better ultra runners. The juggle and fitting it all in makes the focus. And then when it actually comes to the ultra, you think, I have given up and, you know, done so much for this, juggled so much, there's no way I'm not doing this.
Oh, definitely. And I think one of the ones I've started doing recently, which I am the worst for, is stretching. I'm like, I think we all do it. We tell people to stretch, but I just don't do it. And I've had so many injuries. And I was like, I need to stretch. I need to do it properly. And I found a couple of apps on my phone, which are like 20, 25 minutes. So I've now worked out, I can put the dinner in, about 20 minutes, I can put the app on. And when the dinner goes ping, I stop. Yeah. But actually,
from the oven,
I'm getting
a bit of warmth
better.
From the oven, a bit of stretching.
I do feel quite exhausted that you're on all the time. See, maybe from watching TV, then if I'm not foam rolling, I kind of have like a level of guilt that, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. But what I do not do, and I'm not too sure if you do it, even when I chatted about this, quite often I hear about this pre-run ritual of kind of warming up for the run. And I don't. I'm out the door and I'm running.
I do this.
Cup of tea.
I down my last bit of tea and I'll be like, I'm half an hour, I'll be back. Yeah, I do set a lot of my clients pre-run activation exercises.
Yeah.
But I'm quite good at, I start, maybe you are too, Nicola, I start really slow any of my activities. I have no problem with a 10, 15 minute like bit, especially as I get older. It takes me like 20 minutes to build up to it.
Oh, definitely. It is. It's the build up. I'm like, no, I can't go out and sprint this. It's a gentle try to wake myself up on that run. Good couple of K to go, right, I'm here. I'm present.
Yeah. Move away from running for a few minutes. Tell us a bit about your day job.
Yeah, what I do, I work for ScotRail for the trains. So audit, risk and compliance manager. So basically making sure we should be doing the things we should be doing.
Yeah.
And all our contract side of things. So it's quite a pretty kind of a busy day job.
That's my favourite mode of transport, a train.
It's great, actually, especially up here. I've now been getting out a lot more of our runs. We've been doing point to points.
Yeah.
So actually using the train to get some of the boys up the West Highland Way. So it's great. You can get on, get further up and then run back different stations and jump on the back as well.
Do you get a free transport working for Scotland?
You know, you don't know that. You were going, get free transport, any discount codes?
Yeah.
I do have a staff pass, yes.
You can't answer that. That's probably... I love a train journey. The trains, we've not got any trains near us here, but I love taking the kids on a train journey too. So much easier than in the car, and you can sit and have a tea and see the world go by.
With COVID, are you working remotely now? Are you back in the office, or how's that panned out?
I'm still back at home, and obviously we thought we were getting some slight movement, but then Scottish Government were back working at home again. So yep, kitchen table, that's it.
Hard, isn't it? It's hard. Let's go back to running. Let's not talk about proper jobs. Right. Epic Trails. You started this group. Are we right in thinking about that? Can you tell us a little bit about it? Is it just Scottish-based runners? What's it all about?
Yeah, Epic Trails started kind of at the start of lockdown. So I previously been doing guided runs for a local company, Trailfest. And just when COVID hit, it was just easier just for them for not to continue. I think it was just logistically just wasn't working. And they're now moved out over to France, into Chamonix. Very jealous. I want to go out there. I know. It's amazing.
Anytime. We've got a spare room.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah.
But everyone was asking me, because I was still here, are you doing leading runs? What's happening? Were you getting back up? So I was like, I'm still here. I'll just set it up myself.
Yeah.
So the hardest part for me is the tech. I'm like, a Facebook page? And I've got to do like sign-ups. And what's a website? I'm like, I just run. So started off just during lockdown when no one else could get out. I just started posting my posts, my pictures of where I've been, and just trying to encourage people. And roundabouts, a lot of, you know, like mums and females and things. And it's like, you guys can go out. Anyone can go out and run. They're local to you. Here's the trails. Here's the routes. And so many people off the back of them were actually asking me, you know, where is it you go? Can you share your routes? And I wasn't one for Strava. I'm like, no, I can't do Strava. I can't do it. I'm too competitive. This thing's called segments and things. I'm like, no, can't do it. I have now started doing it, and I'm now chasing segments. And I said, I'm never good.
No way.
Like, as people said, it was the best way to share the routes. So again, putting them up, and people will always ask me for ideas, and that's saying, oh, we love it. We've tried this one. Where's this one? When can you show us? So as soon as restrictions started easing, I started putting guided runs on. So it's just every Thursday we set up. It's just one of the local ones to sign up. And it's either like 6K or 8K. And it's just getting people out in the trails. The head torch is on just now because it's dark. And it's very social. So we're stopping, starting. No one gets left behind. And just having a bit of fun, really.
Would they just turn up? Or would you have to say formally enter something to do one of the guided runs?
Yeah, I do have a booking system, and it was really primarily due to COVID and the numbers, because there was restrictions of how many people could run in a group. So that's why I set it up. And it also just means that I've then got emergency contact numbers for people. So it's just no one turns up and I don't know who they are. But it's one of those dead easy to sign up for. For the first year, I did it for free, simply because every month I was like, I need to start charging, but I don't quite know how to do that. So eventually I was like, right, okay, after a year, and a few friends giving me a kick saying, will you pay, charge, we want to pay you. But it's very little, and all the money that we get is not for profit, it goes to charity.
It sounds like a great pathway into running if you're new to trails. Do you find it's new trail runners or people with a bit more experience, or just a mix?
You get a bit of a mix. You get people who actually live locally that have never... don't actually know the trails. They're like, how did I not know this was here? Just by going, you know, like 10 metres off the main path, and there's so many trails round about. And you get a lot that are maybe confidence, that aren't sure running, you know, at night, especially in a head torch, or going these places yourself, or maybe the routes, they don't have the confidence to go and explore.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's social, especially during lockdown. People are like, this, you know, I can't wait for a Thursday night just to get out and get running. You know, this is my sanity. It's my like therapy class.
I read somewhere recently that if you run with running a social gathering and you get that fun enjoyment hormone, it's like 17% better than you for you than going for a normal run.
17%.
How they work that out.
To be precise.
Good selling point. I'll find the data for you. But I love running. I love a group run where it just goes so quick and you're just chitter-chattering.
Yeah.
That's my perfect sort of running.
The level of chat, the conversation level, it does reach gutter level at some point, but it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Gary, you die, especially when it's all women, the stuff that comes out on
I just think it's fantastic. Anything, we talk about this quite a lot on the podcast, just anything to make the trails more accessible, it's a super positive thing. We do talk about COVID, but obviously, you know, we're still 2020 and 2021 and restrictions. So much stuff was cancelled or postponed. And you mentioned earlier the West Highland Way race, but yeah, generally how was that for your race calendar?
It was hard because the year before COVID was my accident and I'd lost race upon race upon race. Yeah. And I was like, right, I can now get back. This is it. I've got things like the West Highland Way race. I was going for the Triple Crown with the Flying West Highland Race and the Devil.
Yeah.
I had lots of them. And then again, it was, that's gone, that's gone, that's gone. And then all getting moved. But it was trying to just not be too negative. There were some people I know that were just, well, I'm not going to do anything. But yeah, actually, I ended up doing so much. My mileage was ridiculous because there was all these virtual challenges. So
I love it. You were like, I'm not doing Strava. No way. And
you're like, so West Highland Way race and how far must you run within a week? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody getting virtual burnout. I've heard of a few injuries. People are going, I got that from doing. But I think because we were at home and there wasn't anything else to do, we weren't trying to cope with like kids' activities and everything else. It's amazing how much more time and energy you do have though to do those sort of things.
I struggled that the Lakeland 100 virtual run.
Did yourself over on that one. Weren't you trying to do something else as well at the same time? You did like two.
I don't know. I put it off and I think then some epic weekend of running to try and get the 100 miles. It wasn't it wasn't good. But have your races been postponed or cancelled?
Most of them, some were postponed, some were cancelled. Most of them I've got back this year, but then it ended up with the usual where you had three all on the same weekend. And you're right, which one am I going to pick? Yeah. I'm going to do them all. And they've all ended up in September. What happened in September? They all seem to be deferred to that month.
Yeah.
It's like back. It's all back to normal now. And now it's actually this year, I'm now going, I've got to pay for races next year.
Yeah.
Because everything got deferred a year. I'm going to be skint.
You recently just did this Tweed Valley Ultra. It's funny, it's a coincidence. I was speaking to a friend on Saturday evening and he just, he ran it too with his wife. And I just thought, he said he was raving about the race. But yeah, could you explain a bit about the route?
Probably my descriptions are probably like quite often I do them when I'm writing up my write-ups. I ran up a big hill, I ran down a big hill, I ran round some more and up a hill. And then I have to work out where I actually ran. But it was an absolutely stunning day. It started up at Glen Tress, which for those who don't know, it's a mountain biking centre down at Peebles.
Yeah.
So of course, straight up, started off the race, let's run up a red route and then down a blue route.
That sounds like my everyday.
We're like, that's fine. And they said, don't worry, you're finishing a downhill. Great. So it was freezing cold, but beautiful. You know, that sky where you can see for miles. It was a cracking day. Over the hills, along some of the, I think, the Southern Upland Way. And the views were amazing. Lovely, lovely route. And actually, it's quite bizarre. I bumped into a girl probably about 15k in, and we ended up having so much in common. So I ended up just running along with her the whole time, because this was the furthest she was running. She was trying to get a qualifier time for the West Highland Way, and I was like, right, I'll just bit of company and just
I love it
for the social now.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we ended up running the whole way together, and it was absolutely great fun. Although what they didn't say at the end, when they said you start running down a downhill, was that there was 5k of uphill. That blue run and red run that we kind of went up and down, well, you kind of had to do that kind of the other way.
Oh.
And it was the worst. It just kept going up and up. You're like, must be here. Nope, they're still going up. Still going up.
Yeah.
But I have, if I have the watch, if I have the profile on my watch, if I'm doing the route and I get onto the profile at the end of the other ultras and I'm like, where is the little arrow? How much more of that up? And then you see you're only like halfway up the last up and you're like, yeah. Oh my God.
And which one did you opt for? Did they do a 50K and a 60?
Yeah, 65. It was 65. So I signed up for the 65. And then on the day, you can actually change. So there's a point, it's only probably about 20K in, I think. Yeah. And there's like 65 straight ahead, 50 take a left.
Oh.
But it was too early in. So I was like, nah, of course it's 65.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as you're getting near the end, you're like, should have taken 50. I've been done by now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We chatted with Dean Karnassus, didn't he? And in his book, there's an option to cut the race a bit short. You could still take the shorter distance. And he went for the long one.
Of course he didn't. He's Dean. Yeah. He's Dean.
He can't not.
Okay. No. As well as all your busy life, you also are a volunteer for the children's panel. Could you explain a little bit to us about your role there?
So the children's panel is unique to Scotland. It's the only country in the world that has this. And it's part of the judicial system. And it's basically the aim is protecting kind of welfare and safeguarding of children. So it's those children that come into the system. Could be a variety of reasons, whether it's through, you know, the care and protection that they need within their home, things just aren't going right. And we make sure we put compulsory measures in really to protect those children and make sure we're providing the best for them. So it's all voluntary.
Yeah.
That would do it. And it's kind of like in a tribunal format. So there's three people that sit on the panel and we make those decisions about what's in the best interest of a child, really.
And what would be a pathway? If somebody, one of our listeners were Scottish based, I suppose, and they were, you know, wanted to volunteer, is there a kind of a pathway to do that?
Yeah, usually each year they open up for people, recruitment campaign really, for people to volunteer. And it's based on either your local authority where you live or where you work. So you can choose either which you prefer to kind of apply for. So it's always good to keep an eye on the children's hearing system, Facebook pages and on the media as well for when entries for recruitment open up. And if you don't want to sit in the panel itself, there's loads of behind the scenes roles as well. You can really play an active part in the process to protect the children, if whether or not you're front facing or sitting behind, really.
Yeah,
it's really worth, it's a worthwhile, you feel the benefit of doing it.
How does Nicola Dawson relax?
She can't. She's just never stopped.
I sat down, put the TV on, pour a glass of wine. Within about 10 minutes, I'm snoring. And then the next day, I have to rewind that programme. My husband's going, did we not watch that last night? I think we did. I don't know.
We do that. We put it on. We put on whatever we're watching. We're going, have we watched this? And we'll start watching it. We'll be like 3 or 4 minutes in. And then we'll be like, oh, we've watched this. We've watched this, yeah.
I'm really fond of the Lake District. Any excuse to go west and hit the fells over there? Is there any way you'd kind of make a beeline for?
I like up the west coast. Just the scenery. We've got all the Munros up there. So you've got your trails, you've got the beaches, you've got the hills, you've got everything round about. But saying that, the lakes are somewhere I've started exploring. I've done the lap race twice now and really, really liking it, getting to see down there. And there's so many different opportunities. I'd like to get some more races down that way, across the border and come down.
Proper sound for you, that.
Yeah,
it is. It looks straight up in Scotland. What did I see somewhere? It was a story a few years ago I saw. I think the Thailand Tourist Board used a picture from a Scottish beach and pretended it was somewhere in Thailand. And nobody realised for quite a while, actually.
We've got all the nuggets today, haven't we? Where did I see it? I've seen this. Oh, Nicola, you are such a, which is one of the reasons we wanted to get you on the podcast, an inspiration to us all of everything that you managed to juggle, not only just normal life and your own training, but encouraging other people to get into trail running, and especially women. And often when we talk to women, and we've had some really good advice on how you would encourage women to get into running ultras, what would you do to increase participation? And perhaps what do you see as the barriers and how we can overcome that?
I think a lot of it is people think it's scary. It's that distance. I can't do it. And I'm like, there's nothing you can't do. You can do anything you put your mind to, but it's just starting off slowly. You know, just start off with littler runs. If it's maybe the trail you're not sure about, well, come and find a group, come and run with people. And people always think, oh, it's scary joining a group. You'll be too fast. And I'm like, no, come along and try it. You don't know until you tried it. And I've always said to people, if you're not sure, I'll happily come out running with people just to actually kind of get them out and to show them what they can do. And then starting to kind of look at races, look at shorter ones and just slowly building it up. And getting a coach, if you're not sure, actually get someone who knows what they're talking about to build up a training plan so that you're doing it in a structured manner. Because that's sometimes the hardest thing, is knowing what you should be doing and when you should be doing it. And you don't want to do that burnout of just, I've got to run all the time to get the distance, when you don't.
Do you have a coach, Nicola?
I don't just now. I have had in the past. A lot of it is now self-coaching, just through, I know what I need to do. If I'm on the West Highland Way waiting list just now, I didn't get in the first ballot. So I'm in that 30. So I'm like, do I know? So I think if I do get in, then I'm like, right, I will get someone to coach me just because that's, I've not done that distance before. Mm. So I'm like, right, I need
someone
just to
try. What's the furthest that you've run?
Probably that would have been the fling. So that'd be 53 miles.
Okay. So yeah,
It's a doubler, nearly.
Yeah, it's a doubler.
Would you get an email, you know, once you're on the waiting list, somebody drops out?
They've got, everyone that got through in the first round's got to the 31st of December to take their place.
Okay.
So it's like crossed. Waiting. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah.
I reckon though, I had an email from the Marathon du Mont Blanc. I was down to do the 90K and I didn't get in the wait. And then they said, so many people haven't taken up their place. You can now have a place. Because I think everybody, so many people were like, enter. Yeah. And then entered everything. And then of course, with still postponed races, and I reckon you might be in. That would be so exciting.
I wonder what the dropout rate is, because every race I've been involved in, whether it's a big mass participation road race, the physical entries to the people who do it on the day, the numbers are staggering. There must be like a 25% people.
It's huge. I think it's about 25%, I think, James. And even on the day, still lots of people who've bought bibs and not.
You could just hang around on the day. Take a somebody. It's not far to go, is it?
This is the problem with these ones. The start line is quite literally about 500 metres from my door.
Yeah. It's quite logistic. I always fancied the West Highland Way, but the only thing that did put me off was not being local. Yeah, the midges. But not being local was the logistics. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to have a crew that come with you along the route. And
I'll crew for you, Gary. I'd do it.
Yeah. There's quite a few people that do come from abroad, and they do put on the page anyone can crew, and they manage to find a crew because there's people locally that will happily just help out and crew people.
It's all excuse. Nicola's not having it, Gary. That's
not easy. Get yourself up here.
I've left it too late, mate. 2024, probably. My goodness me. Yeah, well, it's on the list.
Any other races? Oh, there we go. You got. You are.
Oh, there you go. Here. Yeah. We were seamless for that one.
Talking about lists. Sorry, it's your question, but then you're going to. Well, you got the next one. Apart from West Highland Way, in the next few years, what's on your bucket list of ultras to do?
It's quite a few. I'd love to get into UTMB. That is one that I keep entering. I've got the points. I'm like, come on, 1 year, I will actually get there. That's one I definitely would want to do.
Nice little build up though. If you got into West Highland Way, get your 100 miler under your belt.
That's it.
And then another year's learning.
That'd be awesome.
Nice little UTMB.
Yeah. Wouldn't mind Lakeland as well. Get that one done. And then there's a few, like the Cape Wrath, the ones like that, which are the multi-day. I've never done a multi-day. So a multi-day, I think, would be really good. God,
the multi-days are the best because they're like holidays. You finish running and you don't have to cook. Yeah, you don't have to do any laundry. You just get to lie around. It's the best. The longer the multi-day you can find. Cape Wrath's like 8 days. Do it.
Right. Okay. Yes,
what's that with the dragon's back? That'd be a good multi-day, wouldn't it?
That's seriously hardcore. Yeah. The dragon's back is not a holiday.
No.
I just watched the BBC documentary of that, and it looks hard.
Really hard.
Good,
doable.
But, hard.
But again, just like you said, the dropout rate of that is huge. And I think it's the mental, the first 2 days are so hard and people's bodies are so sore after 2 days, they can't get their head around the fact that they've got to keep going. Whereas think Nicola, you'd be like, just checkpoint, just point to point, tick them off. Don't think about the full picture.
Yeah.
Talking about documentaries, excuse me, have you seen is it Netflix? That one with that guy summits all the mountains over 8,000 feet in 7 months. Well worth a watch if you if you've got a Netflix subscription, yeah, really good. I think it was the most downloaded documentary last week in the seventh.
Where are you pulling all these stats from? Please don't believe any stats that Gary's saying.
100% accurate, my 100% stats. Accurate. But it's super good. Even my 15-year-old daughter stayed and watched it.
I was going to ask, is it, what sort of age range is that suitable for?
Oh yeah,
there's no limbs being severed off on a rope.
Frozen bodies on a mountain.
A 6-year-old alpine girl could take that.
I think so. Yeah, very interesting. Really good story. And you know, the guy didn't come from. Sometimes you know, I've got nothing to do with mountaineering, but sometimes maybe I have this kind of impression that they come from privilege. It's quite an expensive sport. This guy wasn't. You know, I think he remortgaged his house to kind of fulfill his dream. Pretty inspiring story. So. I'm pretty sure it's Netflix, something about 14 summits. But yeah, well worth a watch.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people talking about it, and I think I'm the only person that doesn't have Netflix.
All right, okay.
Or at least I don't think I do. I don't really know.
I'm the same. We have all these remote controls. I'm like, if my husband's not there, I don't know how to turn the television on. I'm like, I don't understand which button and where to go. And he's like, I'll show you. And I'm like, I don't bother, because if he's not here, I'm like, not bothered.
Should we go and tell her? Fast. Well, I've actually got about 7 questions here, so we'll see how
well. I think we can answer that. Let's ask them all.
Let's go.
Love some great. Right. So we've done that.
Okay, this is always a tricky one. It might not be the last song you listen to, but the last song you remember listening to. If you check our iTunes,
probably just on have iTunes.
Do I? No, I don't actually. No, do I? I might have. I don't know. Oh, this is really bad. Sparkle and Shine from the Nativity yesterday at church.
Oh, wow.
We've been doing Nativity rehearsal for weeks. And yeah, I do play a part in the Nativity because obviously I do have the mental age of like about an 8-year-old. And that's a song that is still stuck in my head.
Sparkle and Shine. Sparkle and Shine.
I don't even know what it is.
No, nor do I. I just made it up. No, I imagine that.
I'm not going to sing it because my singing is awful, so it's not happening.
Oh, I love a nativity.
You do love a nativity, don't you?
Oh, we passed that one. Can't pass that one.
What is on your Christmas list?
Is it really bad? I've got a pair of poles. I don't run with poles. I want a pair of poles.
Yes,
I put that on my list.
Which poles?
The ones from Harrier. That's where those ones. Yeah, so I have given them. I've given them the link. I've sent it to them.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
You haven't gone as far as to buy them for yourself and just said
not yet.
No. Okay. Just keep checking the package deliveries.
Yeah.
They look like they do some great stuff, Harry. They got some vests and poles and bits and bobs. Yeah, like a great company. Right. Strength and conditioning all the time, or just when you are injured?
All the time. I do love lifting weights.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, it's got to lift the weights.
Yeah. And would you, this next question, would you lift heavy or maybe more body weight style routine?
Heavy.
Heavy.
Gotta go big.
Yeah.
She's not small, got time to hang around just planking. Nicola's lifting probably whole of...
a Munro.
Maybe small, but I can lift big.
Would you run before or after breakfast?
Probably after, but I can quite literally have a bowl of porridge and just go straight out the door.
Yeah, very good. That's a superpower, that is. Now, we know swimming's not going to answer this one, but what's your favourite, swim, bike or run?
Run.
Can you still bike now with your wrists, or is that too painful?
It's taken a while to get back. I'm back on the road bike. I can't mountain bike because I've not got the flexibility. So the mountain bike had to go, but road bike's okay.
But do you turbo as part of your training?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were swifter?
No, I've not got a smart turbo. I've got a dumb turbo. That's also on my Christmas list, but I don't think that's going to arrive.
I've got one here. It's not even been put together.
Gary's had a turbo behind him for what, 4 or 5 weeks now? I helped him buy it. I told him what he needed and it's still sitting behind him, yet to be set up.
It's coming. Won't be long, Eddie. Yeah. Well, that's
send
it.
Send it up. If you just send it up my direction.
There's Nicola. She'd be on it. You.
Is it? Yeah.
Instead of the cheer charge packet, we'll send you a turbo to say thanks.
Yeah, nice. That's a good trade.
Oh, Nicola, thank you so much for giving up your time to come to the podcast. What I love an inspirational person who you not only training for your ultras, working, busy family, giving up your time for other people. You make me and Gary feel very inadequate with what we do, but hopefully inspired some people to get out on the trails. Have a look up on Epic Trails if you're local to Nicola, and also there's always time to fit in some volunteering. We can always find time. Don't get that Netflix subscription like Nicola.
And it really is a great Facebook group, I have to say. You know, I've joined the group. It's very, I know I'm not based in Scotland, but it's always great to see other people's trails. I really enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. You take care. Oh, thanks, Nicola. That was great. Thanks for giving up your time. And yeah, please do go check out the Epic Trails Facebook group. They have some guided trails too, if you're not so confident about getting out on the trails yourself for the first time.
And exciting news, Nicola messaged me this week to say that she'd got into West Highland Way and she would be running in memory of John. So that's really exciting. And we will definitely be following her journey, see how she get on. We'd love to hear from anybody else as well, perhaps that got into West Highland Way, especially if it's your first foray into a long distance event.
Results. Oh, wow. It's been busy, Eddie, with lots of fell races and local races to me. I think not massive, these kind of 100-milers, but lots of local fell races. And one that caught my eye on Facebook, I think it must have been, it was either very brave or it was actually a fancy dress was encouraged. and this was the New Year's Day fell race at St. John's, and it's 2022. And Lloyd Taggart. Apologies for making mistakes. I think these results are correct. I always have to say that. But Lloyd Taggart took the win in 24 minutes and 58 seconds. And he's a male V50. I hope he doesn't mind bringing attention to his age. But yeah, still crushing it. So yeah, I'm fast approaching 50, Eddie. So it's not
stop all. It. No. 25, not a day over.
Yeah, no. And then Alice Forster took the win for the ladies in a good time of 29 minutes and 2 seconds. And I think that's on the Isle of Man or Isle of Wight. So, yeah, very interesting. That'd be good.
Scrabbling around for other results, I thought I'd have a dip in to see who had been doing part run, because there were lots of part runs going on. I know people love Christmas Day part run and New Year's Day part run. So I went and had a little look. Couldn't find your name in the top 10 stats, Gary, for
this week.
not this week for the part run. Part run Riverside was the men's fastest time, Chris Perkins in 14:46. And I got excited because I saw Riverside and I was like, oh, is that Durham Riverside where I knew you'd been running? But then we decided it was probably Chesterley Street, which is only just up the road.
Yeah.
But wasn't
14:46. That's
14:46. And then the ladies was Harriet Blore at Eastbourne in 16:51. What amazes me is that people run so fast at a park run, because the courses are often random, aren't they? You do a little loop there and then you turn that corner and then you go down the old lady sitting there and you turn around her and then just to the ice cream kiosk and then, and then up the little hill. Oh, we're not running down that bank this week. We're going that way.
But the park run I did, Durham Park Run.
So tell me about the Durham Park Run. What's the course? Let me relive my...
Oh, yes. Well, you're very familiar with Maiden Castle, your glory days. And you start at the back of Maiden Castle.
Okay.
And you run around, I suppose, the rugby fields. You take and then you come back to Maiden Castle.
Crossing the bridge.
Yeah, you jump onto the trail and you cross the bridge. And then you kind of weave a way around. I think it's the rowing club. You end up kind of down that part of Durham. And then the north side of the river.
Yeah.
And then you're running towards the city. You cross over another bridge. And then we do a kind of a 90 degree turn back to where the bandstand is. Do you remember that? On the other side. Yeah. So the cricket pitches are there.
Yeah.
And you finish there. Really nice course. I wouldn't say it's particularly a fast course if you're aiming for
it. It must be wet.
It wasn't too bad, actually. The weather was okay then. But yeah, if it had been a real rotten day, that wouldn't have been great. The only thing I always think when I visualise parkrun, it's a lot of the social as well as the run. And I think through no fault of Durham Park Runs, it's changed. I think it used to pretty much start and finish in Maiden Castle, and you could go to the toilets, have a cup of coffee, and this and that. It's a bit disjointed now as far as that's concerned. Where you finish is a little bit of a walk back to Maiden Castle. So maybe not as much fun as the old course, but yeah, it was great. I do enjoy parkrun, but I don't do very many of them. But a friend of mine, it was his 500th parkrun. That was his achievement. The day before, I didn't realize it was such a big milestone, 15-year run streak. Which I'm not too sure what, I know some people have a mile a day, some people have like a 5K is a minimum. But yeah, Paul William Smith, my goodness me, well done. 15 years.
Is he carrying on?
And yeah, he sent me a little screen grab of, must be some Garmin group of run streakers. And he is second worldwide at the moment. The guy who's in the lead is quite a way in the lead, but yeah, currently second in the world. And I think he's definitely first in the UK. It's an American guy who's actually in the lead. But 15
you know
years.
What I have in my radar when I'm older and the kids are a bit older is the number of, I think it's 51 consecutive marathons.
Okay.
It's a women's world record. Ooh. I'm like, I wonder if, like, would I every day get up? And I've gone as far in a long run, you know, when your mind wanders to like
plan
the marathon route to be like, would you run the same route every day and like get up, you know, like 6 o'clock in the morning and you'd go and you'd run it so that then you'd have like max, honestly, I've gone this far, max time for like recovery and like, would you run laps? Would you just run like so many 5K laps?
Do they have to be official events or not, just to marathon distance?
I can't think it would be, would it? Maybe no, I need to look into a bit more, but I was like...
Well, watch this space, listeners.
No, I'd have to be... This would be. You'd have to really... It'd have to be the one thing, wouldn't it, in your life? Because it's also the sort of thing that you go, I could do that. Could I do that?
There'll be a lot of people doing these accumulators at the moment. I know, I'm pretty sure it's Cockburn Events. They do one. And currently, where we're at the 4 miles today, that seems fine. But come the end of the month, when you're doing a 21 mile, 22 mile, 23 mile, oh my goodness me.
No. I stay clear of anything beginning with accumulation, streak.
They're two different things. Like you say, they're two different things. If I am trying to peak in a race, then I just can't do that because I don't think it's going to do me any good as far as performance is concerned. But if that was my thing, I was going for.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Another big thought I had, it was that it has to be your thing, doesn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. I think if you get invested in that and that's what you want to do, but you can't do it as part of as a training program because it needs to be your event, doesn't it? And that you can't be like, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that because commit to one thing. That's a good life lesson as well, especially for me. I'm always doing that. Like just one thing, Eddie. Just commit to one thing. Like we thought with New Year, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, Gary. I'm not big on New Year, New Me because, frankly, you don't get better than us, really, do you?
Get better now.
No, I thought instead we'd have a little think. We'd have a little. I'd ask you a little question about maybe what you're grateful for last year, or even just this last few days. A little bit of, we start the new year show with a little bit of gratefulness. Gratitude, that's the word.
Gratitude. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to talk about.
My kids say in their mixed French and English, where they like don't know the difference.
I'm so lucky we've got a good bunch of friends, running friends. We're all pretty similar. Not in our worldview, but we, you know, we get along. And you know, my main kind of partner in crime is Neil or Rob Wall. And I just, it's just so grateful for these friendships, really, and just to highlight this. And we casually talked about having another go at a Bob Graham round, a winter Bob Graham round on a anti-clockwise to make it different, obviously, to the previous attempt. Very low key. And he just knocked on my door maybe about 2 weeks ago. And I just kind of planted the seed. And without hesitation, I'm in. And I just thought when you got mates like that, it's just perfect. So yeah, definitely close friendships. It's been good. And what is also amazing, I didn't grow up with a lot of these people. Running kind of brought us together. You know, if you get opportunities to do things and meet new people, I'd always, you know, give it a go, because you just never know where it's gonna end up.
I think running is running. You know, we all love running, but running friendships are often people you perhaps wouldn't be friends with in other walks of life, or wouldn't meet as well.
Yeah.
But you have this deep bond of, I always think it's like the suffering, isn't it?
Yes.
You've suffered together deeply. You've been through things that, you know, you can't explain. You've got in jokes, you've got out jokes, you know each other, you've seen bits of each other perhaps that you wouldn't have shown to other people as well.
It's really healthy, because sometimes your social group can become a bit of an echo chamber with people that you maybe studied with, you've got the same politics as, but running throws you everybody together, and you've got this unifying thing that is running, but lots of different lifestyle choices outside of running. But yeah, you muddle on together,
and you have the best chats, a bit like when you're driving, because you're looking forward and you not have to make eye contact.
Yeah,
often the best stories are shared.
Oh, wow,
outrageous stories.
can't repeat them.
What goes on the trail stays on the trail. But I love that, Gary. What a lovely thought. It's like Radio 2 when they do Thought of the Day. We're becoming quite reflective in our old age on Run for the Hills.
I spend a lot of time. I'm glad I never started crying, because I do get quite sensitive.
Get your Nivea cream. I've just bought myself some new. Don't you think my skin's looking nice today?
I was going to mention that, actually.
I splashed out €13 I spent on a face cream. I've been using this cream, and it hasn't had SPF in, and I've been got away with it because we haven't had any sun. I'm like, you can't, you know, where I live, and I'm going to look like the old ladies I see downtown with proper weathered faces in Cafor. I'm like, I've got to get my...
Be careful.
You know, I don't have any makeup, as you know, Gary, you have to look at me like this. I don't spend any money, but I think a good face cream. There's my top tip for 2022, a good face cream.
But what about yourself, Eddie? What are you grateful for?
I was really grateful that, though I know I moaned about it over the Christmas period, was having that time with my family, with the kids, and everybody being, after a turbulent few years with COVID and disruptions, and we've got away with it a lot here because, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere, and the school, French schools have carried on. The kids only really missed like 3 weeks of school totally. And even now with COVID restrictions, they don't have to do all the self, you know, if someone in their class has COVID, they can, anyway, it's just a bit different, but the kids have come out of it totally unscathed. And they've had a few big disappointments with not being able to see grandparents and that sort of thing, but I was really grateful over the Christmas period that we had time with them, and that they're turning into three very resilient little but wonderful little humans. That, well, I'll share something I wouldn't normally share, but Bryn's parents meant to come and stay, and Bryn's mum got COVID in the last second. They were literally on their way, and so they couldn't come. And so that was a big disappointment for the kids, because it was their Christmas, sort of, they were coming for Christmas, or just after Christmas. And the first thing they said was, oh, we hope grandma's okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, that showed, you know, for all my whining about my kids and oh my God, they're doing my head in, that they're turning into people that are thinking about others.
Very thoughtful, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think that as a parent is something that you do want. You, when you see that, you're like, oh God, it is worth all that.
Yeah. That's wonderful, that is, Eddie.
Anyway, let's move to back to running. What you got coming up, Gary?
Oh, it's the big one.
God, that's early in the year to be the big one.
I know, yeah. Well, that's a bit disappointing, because I didn't enter All Monks. And then when I thought, yes, I'm going to enter it, entries had closed. They could have done entries on the day, but I didn't fancy taking a chance. Anyway, moving on to this weekend, we've got Thornley XC. So I won't do one of my workouts that was planned. I'll do Thornley XC as that workout. So 10K Thornley Hall Farm cross country course. Oh, Eddie, you would love it. It is, especially when it's wet like this. Up and down, you know, you kind of shin deep mud. For pretty much the rest of the year, it's just a working farm with cows churning up the land and stuff like that. Tractors going through little gates. So there's one point in particular where if you go through there three times without losing the shoe, then that is a result.
Are you going to tape your shoe on? I love that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I've got to clean them. My goodness, I can't forget to clean my spikes before Saturday. But for Sedgefield, because that is our closest fixture, and we are still top of the league, So we need a big team effort because the last fixture is at Anik, which is the furthest away for us. So, you know, on a Saturday, over an hour's journey up to Anik, it's a big ask to get a team out and a strong team. So we really need to, I think we could, if we have a really, really good show on Saturday, secure promotion. I don't want to kind of speak too soon, but I think, yeah, that could be on the cards. The thing with the third division, if you put out an incomplete team, your points, any kind of chance of promotion are gone after that. So we just really need to do a good show, Thorny Farm, and then put out at least a full team or get six people to finish the race over at Anik. And then Division 2 cross country next season, which would be pretty awesome for, you know, Sedgefield. That would be great. But I think that's it for me. What about yourself?
Base build. I'm hoping we've had this like really weird weather. We had, it was really, really cold over Christmas, like proper, you know, you all know because of, you know, wanged on about it. But then it's got really warm and literally it's unheard of that I'm able to like drive without gloves on. You know, the kids have gone to school with, one of them went to school with trainers on today.
Yeah.
So it's coming though, the cold weather. So I'm a bit disappointed because I had this, you know, I was like, I can get on my skis. The kids have been skiing and all I've been doing is being a taxi driver. But it's just rain. So now it's just ice. I mean, it's lethal. So, but do not fear, listeners, because end of this week, we're back into the minus 10s. Snow's coming. So hopefully less swifting, more skiing, and more of the base building. So January, I'm doing this week of like just getting back into it. Preparation week, and then without any like proper session. Oh, I did think of you though, because I did some 30-second sprints.
Yes,
and like, oh my god, my butt, my hamstrings. There are only six, and by the sixth one, I was like, just running home, I was like, oh, I feel like someone's kicked me up the butt.
I've got sore pecs after I did my press ups yesterday. Oh, and that's the first time since Valencia done anything like that.
Oh, that's a long time, Gary.
Yeah, I know. Naughty. Yeah,
that Dom's is going to be real. Anyway, hoping for some snow, carrying on the base building, getting back into routine and catching up. And I love catching up with clients as we start, because we have that kind of time in December, don't we, in the UK kind of racing calendar where everyone's kind of just treading water, waiting. But now...
Yeah.
For April races, now it starts. Now it starts. You know, there's a proper focus. You feel a new focus about
everything. Yeah.
Also, last thing, I got to get to my Pilates class, but I've noticed it's a bit lighter in the evening.
Oh, 100%. I was doing the maths I was looking at the app and the sunrise and sunset, and it's, you get a minute either side of the day. And within, you know, like I say, a couple of weeks, you really notice the difference. It's brilliant.
Best of luck to former podcast guests on the Spine Race. We've got Anna Troop Racing. We've got Damien Hall Racing. We've got yet to come on the podcast, but I know she's desperate to. Debbie Martin Consani.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a race entry list, but if you are listening and you're going to do the Spine Race or any of the Spine, the Spine Challenger, any of the other races, we wish you safe and pleasant journey. Of course, I
don't think it's going to be pleasant.
But I hope the weather gods are in your favour, the wind is in your favour, it's not too muddy. You're strong, stay focused, put the blinkers on.
A lot of dot watching, my goodness me.
Lots of dot watching come up. We also got Country to Capital, one of the South England's premier UK opening ultra race of the year. It starts in Wendover and runs all the way into Paddington. Oh, you quite enjoy it, probably, Gary.
I love that one.
The first half is 22 miles over cross country, and it's not marks. It's just an absolute mud fest normally, and people running everywhere going, now, because when I've done it a couple of times, and when I did it, it was before, that's how long ago it was, GPX watches. So you actually had to read the route map. Now it's on GPX, so it's not quite as daunting. So you run like 22 miles over cross country, can be really muddy. And then you hit the canal and you basically run into the canal for 21 miles into London. It's like a time trial.
Yeah.
So you've got to run the first half savvy, fuel, not get too tired, not get too muddy and hit that canal,
yeah.
Put on some AC/DC and you can time trial it all the way into London. But that canal does tremendous. It's a good race, that one, but it's early. It's an early race to be on form in January. So a couple of good races coming up to look. We look forward to reading the results over the next couple of weeks. Along with our New Year vibe to the show, there's not really been a New Year vibe, has there, Gary? We thought we might introduce a little birthday shout outs for each month at the end of each month, or maybe at the start, but because this month we're kind of starting it now. But if it's your birthday in January or your running mate's birthday in January and you want to give them a shout out, send us a message on Facebook. Don't put it on the Facebook page because we want it to be a surprise. So send us a DM on Facebook, either Gary Thwaites or Edwina Sutton. We'll pick them up. And at the end of each month, we will read out this month we'll read out January's, but then from then on we'll try and do it at the beginning of the month. We thought that might be a nice way to have give your mate a bit of a, well, or if you just want to give yourself a birthday shout out,
why not? And if it's a belated birthday, you know, hey, we'll give it a shout out too. As long as it's not like 6 months out of date.
It's my birthday in April.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to CheerCharge for sponsoring the show. If you enjoy listening to our twittering, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I'm Eddie Sutton.
And I'm Gary Thwaites.
Long pause there. He was just checking who he was. And let's run to the hills.
I was wondering if it was episode 70 or 71.
Oh, I didn't say it was episode 71. We can keep this all in the show, Gary. People love it. It's real life, man. Also, by the way, that was episode 71.